All right. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Will.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. We're going to go ahead and get started with our first Thursday of the month meditation gatherings. We call it a satsang, which means a gathering of truth and people searching for the right way to live, which I think goes right along with our vegan values of compassion for all living beings. And welcome. My name is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is Thursday, April 6th. We are just now in a town called Bullhead City. Anyone know about Bullhead City?
No.
It's right where Arizona, Nevada, and California come together. So it's northwestern Arizona, right across, and we're right on the river. Literally, I can look out, and I could almost put my finger in the Colorado River. It's just right there. It's beautiful. It's just crystal clear blue river. Madeline and I just took a swim about a couple hours ago and had a little picnic here. And we are at the very end of our 4.5 month lecture tour. And I sent out an email to our main list earlier today and mentioned that we did about 80 events over the last 4.5 months, starting in California and then through Arizona and New Mexico and Texas. And then we went across to Florida, and really a lot in Florida. We were there for about 3 months. 2 months we were at Hippocrates Health Institute, giving lectures and concerts there. And then we headed back about a month ago, I guess, and we went through Georgia and through Alabama, did lectures in Georgia and Alabama and Nashville, Tennessee, and Arkansas, and then into Tulsa, Oklahoma, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Santa Fe, and we were just now in Sedona, Arizona, and over here in, let me see what else, yeah, Sedona and in Bullhead City. We really had some excellent events, I would say. We had a nice big event in Sedona. They rented a theater, and we filled up the whole theater. It was really a lot of people came for that one, which was great. And yesterday here, actually, we had a full house, too. So these last few events have gone very well. And let's see. So we're going to go ahead, as you know, those of you who are new to this one, we have a third Thursday event that is for World Peace Talk facilitators or people going through the training or who have already gone through it. And this one is open, the first Thursday is open to anyone. And although people don't know about it usually because it's kind of an insider's kind of a thing, but I mention it now and then in newsletters and things. So I do want to mention something, though. We do send out, like, if you're on our mailing list and not getting things for some reason, you are on the list. It's probably coming, but it's probably going somewhere other than your inbox. So, like, if you have Gmail, you need to kind of find it where it goes and then make a change and say that this should always go to my inbox. Otherwise, that's happening a lot. People just don't get them. The spam filters are pretty strong nowadays, and we're not getting through sometimes. But anyway, just want to mention that. All right, so it's good to see all of you, and we're going to go ahead and get started. Like I say, this first Thursday event that we do, the meditation, is just about an hour long. And normally, we have the piano. We'll be back home in California in just 3 days, which you're kind of excited about after all this time. I think Madeline, you have Stahldrang. We have this word, Stahldrang, which is a Swiss German word. Stahl means stall, and Drang means yearning or urge. Yeah. So it's like the cows, you know, in the morning, when the sun comes up, they're just banging against the gate, and they can't wait to get out in the field, and they're just pushing and pushing and pushing, and they go running out into the field. But then when the sun goes down, and they know it's time to eat, and they know they're not going to really get their special food till they get back to the stall, then They're all at the gate trying to get back in. That's Stahlgram. So they can't wait to get home. That's the basic feeling. I can't wait to get home. So, but we're pretty much home wherever we are in this little van. I'm sitting in this little microvan. And what I was going to say is normally we have piano music along with the meditation, but still we don't have that. But we will next month on the first Thursday of May. All right, so I think we can begin. And so really feel free to do your audio, video, however you'd like. No, I mean, the videos, it's up to you. The audio, please turn it off so we don't have any extraneous noises. Would be good. And we'll go ahead and get started. Let me know if there are any problems with the audio or anything. In the chat might be the best place. And otherwise, I'm going to just close my eyes mostly and get started. Okay. So let's begin. So as we begin our time of meditation, we give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to connect our minds and our hearts with the foundational blessing that is the very source of our life, the source of all life on this beautiful planet Earth where we are. And so we take a moment now and reflect on our life, what's brought us to this point. We give thanks for every event that's ever happened in our life because they brought us to where we are right now. And where we are right now is the absolute best place we could ever imagine being because it's who we are right now. And this being that we are is a manifestation of intelligence and wisdom and grace and kindness and wisdom that is ever flowing as part of our true nature beyond just the physical level, the eternal consciousness that we are as we experience our lives on this earth for the relatively brief duration, a few decades here we get. So we do our best to make wise use of our precious time here and not allow it to be frittered away in things that are not really directly in alignment with our mission and our purpose. So we give thanks for this precious human birth that we have. We give thanks for everyone who's on this call with us, and we give thanks for all of the teachings that have helped us to understand the deeper structure of our society and of cosmos and of our own being. And we give thanks for all the teachers who have appeared in our life through books and through films and through direct physical contact, and however it is, we've all been blessed, I think, with many teachers who are helping to turn our minds in the direction toward greater understanding and wisdom. Sometimes their teachings are painful for us, and yet at a deeper level we understand that nothing ever happens without a reason. And also we remember, I think it's helpful to remember the teachings from Asia that we are constantly sowing seeds through the actions of our body, speech, and mind. And those seeds will ripen, sometimes quickly, sometimes they take longer. And so when they ripen, we learn from them. We learn to develop compassion and understanding and empathy, clarity, so that we can be healers in the world. And we also give thanks for this beautiful planet. We feel especially grateful to be alive right now during such challenging and opportunistic times of tremendous change that is definitely happening every single month and year that goes by. There's a crack in the world, it seems, that allows for new potentials to arise. And we give thanks also for the animals of this earth. We especially are connecting with animals. The gathering is really in many ways dedicated to them, dedicated to beings we refer to as animals, who are each one of them sentient beings who have emotions, feelings, and purposes, awareness, personalities, and each one a unique expression of life, and for their predicament that we have placed them in, and that they find themselves in through whatever reason we perhaps will never understand exactly all that has gone into creating the situation that we have on this earth, where millions of animals are imprisoned and abused and harmed unnecessarily every day for food and for medical testing and for entertainment and for products of various kinds. We give thanks for their presence in our life, not only the animals who are imprisoned and abused and who serve in many ways as food and other products and suffer at our hands, hopefully as an example to help us awaken out of our trance and the spell that we've been put under as a society, and also the free living animals that fly and across our field of vision as birds and hop, skip, and jump through the meadows and fields and swim in the waters. The vast celebration of life here of animals, and the feeling that there's such an enormous abundance of beauty here. And when we human beings awaken out of cultural trance of exploiting and dominating and oppressing other animals, then we can imagine the great celebration that will burst forth here. We can imagine it already if we imagine this earth suddenly without any human beings at all. We realize that without that interference, the rivers and oceans would heal, and the forests and rainforests and the animals would begin to freely begin to multiply and celebrate their lives, and balance would be restored. And this is not to say that we humans should go extinct, but rather that we should have our oppression of them go extinct. Unnecessary, counterproductive. And so we especially dedicate our time together to the awakening of human consciousness, that we may connect with the wisdom and compassion that are always shining in our hearts, that are singing in every cell of our being, and that are whispering in our ear in order to heal us from these delusions that come from being born and raised in a society oriented at its core around imprisoning and sexually abusing millions of animals. And so we see the fellow human beings that we share this earth with, who are not yet aware of these things sufficiently, not yet ripened enough. We send them our love, and we send them our appreciation for the efforts that they're making, knowing that every consciousness ripens in its proper time, and that the one person I can really positively influence is the being that I am myself. So as we connect with our breathing now together, breathing each one of us at our own pace, allowing our breath to slow down, allowing our breathing to become deeper, allowing our inhalations to come all the way down through our lungs and into the diaphragm, expanding our diaphragm into our belly, and as we breathe, we give thanks for the inner peace that's always radiating in our heart, peace that comes from knowing that we are doing the best we can be a force for healing in the world, to be a force for solving the world's problems, doing the best we can to shine kindness and caring out to others in the world. We allow ourselves to abide in our true home of peace as we breathe in a relaxed way, focused and centered, and the awareness that we are experiencing our awareness through our eyes and ears and nose, our mouth, our skin, the five senses, and our thinking. We are more than just that. We are more than just the senses and the thinking process. So we connect with the awareness that we are eternal consciousness, and that from that point of view, as we abide as pure being, that we are not separate from anything else, when we have a peace, we are completely saturated with peace and harmony. There's nothing but that. No matter whatever happens in the outer world, as form, we are not ultimately in any way imprisoned by the world of form. We know that's true not only of us, but of all human beings and of all living beings. But what we are is eternal consciousness. And so the peace that we're feeling is more than merely a feeling. It's an understanding of our true nature. And we allow the joy that comes from this awareness to radiate into every cell of our being now. Abiding in our true home of joy. Joy of understanding that nothing in the outer world brings satisfaction. That we already have everything we could ever possibly like to have without needing anything from the outer world. So we abide in the sense of peace and harmony and the sense of joy. And we just allow this feeling of joy to permeate our heart and our lungs and our internal organs, our brain, all our muscles and bones, our skin, every aspect of our physical body is now just filled with joy, joy of being and of peace. And out of that sense of inner peace and joy, we allow a feeling of compassion to arise in our heart. Learning that all beings experience this sense of joy that needs no reason in the outer world, and the peace that comes from understanding our true nature. So as we breathe, we radiate compassion in all directions to all living beings, to our friends and family and neighbors and colleagues, to all of those who we just meet and see as we go about our daily lives, to those who are specifically perhaps challenging for us. We send love, compassion to all expressions of life, to all the animals. May they all be free from suffering, all the causes of suffering and the illusion of being a fundamentally separate self, which is completely entwined with suffering. Breathing the same breath that was breathed, the same air, the same molecules by the Buddha and by Jesus and by all the great sages. Their molecules are our molecules. Their awareness is our awareness. And so we allow our consciousness now to be filled with a sense of loving kindness for all living beings, abiding in our true home. Peace, joy, compassion, and love. And we just see now our whole earth bathed in the light of freedom, and peace, and harmony. We see the old ways of doing things evaporating as people smile and just let it go. Letting go of prisons, letting go of hospitals, letting go of mental institutions, letting go of all forms of factory farms and little backyard animal operations. Seeing the whole earth as an integrated living being in harmony with communication and respect among all species, where we are learning from and learning with not only each other, but all expressions of life. We allow ourselves to sit quietly at the top of a hill, looking out over the view, each in our own way, whatever you'd like to be looking over, whether it's the ocean or a forest or a range of mountains or a field. Or a little village, however you like to do it, just looking out over the earth and sending our blessings out to the whole earth, all the beings. To the children of all beings. Now we especially send our sense of love and support to all of the animals who are in fear and terror for whatever reason. Send them our love and reassurance that there is more that they will discover. And to all those humans who are standing close to the great change that we call death, or who are in distress and pain, send forth all our wisdom, mercy, and love. Knowing that the wisdom that is ever present is guiding us always. And then finally we allow the light that shines at the heart of the universe to flow down now through the top of our head and to fill our entire bodies. Just see our entire body now filled with this light. Light of wisdom and joy and freedom, abundance, where we need nothing in the outer world. We're here to give of our consciousness of this light. Allow our body now to be a stream of living white light that washes away any impediments to our inner wisdom, to our inner freedom, washes away any fears and wounds. We are cleansed and we now allow that light to pour through the entire web of relations on planet Earth, washing away any wounds, anger, frustration, revenge, washing all that away. It all disappears as we realize together we are all related. All of our relations are one life, connected like the fingers of a hand, here to cooperate and support each other. So we allow our physical body now to be a radiant expression of our spirit and of our wisdom. We allow the infinite web of relations that we are always involved in to be the vehicle for our ministry and our mission in the world, that every day we contribute to the ripples of joy and understanding that go out into the web of relations to bring a world of peace and freedom for all beings. As we close our meditation now, we give thanks for each other. Give thanks to ourselves for taking time out of our busy schedules to be here on this gathering and to focus our attention on the infinite and eternal aspect of consciousness that is the source of wisdom, understanding, and peace, so that we can be effective advocates for the short time we're on this earth. And we give thanks knowing that we are part of the great awakening of human consciousness that is happening right now. So we came to this earth for this purpose. We salute and wink at each other, all of us part of a greater family, beings who are here to help restore the divine harmony that is actually always present when we see clearly. We give thanks knowing that each and every day for the rest of this month of April, we'll learn more and contribute more and connect in a meaningful way with nature and with our inner wisdom and with others to fulfill our purpose on this earth. Through the power and presence of the indwelling spirit of infinite life, truth and love, we give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. All right, thanks everyone for connecting in with our meditation time. I am assuming that the technical side of things went okay. This is all very tentative. You know, we're in a little van running everything off of solar panels and a battery. A cell phone. Somehow it's working. And great. So, thanks for joining us. What we normally do at this point, we take an hour, so we've actually got about a half an hour left, and as I'm happy to respond to any pressing comments or questions that anyone may have. This call, we try to basically focus on the more meditative approach to the issues in our world. Not to say that we can't talk about certain practical issues, but for the most part, we save for the third Thursday, the World Peace Diet Circle, we get more into the nitty-gritty of issues that maybe we're facing in the world that are more political in nature. This is more from a spiritual point of view. So if anyone has any comments or questions, then please go ahead and raise your hand through the participants. I think you can click there under reactions. Or you can just press *6 if you're on your phone, and you can unmute, or you can unmute yourself here. And if not, don't worry, I have plenty I want to say on top of that. So, I like to have people have a specific thing. I do see someone, Shasta, has raised a hand, so I'm happy to address a particular question before I dive into a few things I'd like to say. So, go ahead. Do you want to unmute yourself, Shasta, or do I have to do that? I'm not even sure. Let's see. Yeah, you can unmute if you want, and if this is not happening, then that's fine too. All right, so one of the things I wanted to address, actually, something that I've noticed that comes up quite a bit, is the issue of our personal happiness. And the issue and the problems in the world, the political problems in the world, but especially relationship issues. And I think there's this kind of underlying idea that we can only really be happy if we sort of get what we want, that we need to get what we want somehow. We have certain things we really need to have to be happy. And that idea, I think, has some truth to it on a certain level. I mean, if we really have no air to breathe, or absolutely no food at all to eat, we can I would still be radical enough to say we can still be happy, because ultimately we are the consciousness that makes this possible. But that takes a lot of training. So basically, the way I look at it is this Earth is a school, and we're here to train the being that we are, our consciousness, and also to contribute, to help others. And we train each other in many ways, just by being who we are. But we can be agents of training or teaching in a way that's more effective. Or less effective, I think. So the idea is to try to create within our own awareness an inner freedom, where we realize that as long as I'm trying to get something from other people, trying to get some emotional fulfillment from other people, that I make them the boss of my emotional state. I give them complete power over my own happiness. And I really see this happening quite a bit, not only in people who are non-vegans and the sort of general population, but also people in our own movement. Very often, we're grasping to try to get approval from other people, or get acceptance from other people, or have other people like us in a certain way, and want to get something in return for what we're giving. Like, we're giving out, we want to get something back. And that's understandable. That's sort of a transactional kind of model that underlies our entire society. The problem is that ultimately it always leads to suffering, because when I feel, I'm sure we're all the same, when I'm in a relationship with someone and I feel like they're always trying to get something, and pretty soon, we start to put boundaries up and try to protect ourselves. And then there's this battle that goes on where we give, but we want to get something back. We start manipulating the situation, and we listen to their stories, but only if they listen to our stories, this kind of a thing. So I think really the reason I love veganism so much is that it's sort of an outer manifestation of a surface level. Like, we're going to not not harm animals. Like, we're not going to buy their body parts and their flesh and secretions and products made from them. So that's veganism. And it's a very gross, outer level spiritual practice. But it's the funny thing is, even though it's so gross and outer level, most people in our society never even get that far. It's really amazing. And even people on a spiritual path for decades, they never even get that far. They actually give up, you know, paying people to stab and rape animals, for gosh sakes. I mean, they don't even give that up. I mean, and then, it's really amazing. But the idea is that, what I love about veganism is that it implies, I mean, it doesn't imply, it actually concretely asks that of us, right? It asks us to have at least that basic, fundamental, gross sense of respect for humans and animals, not to make them starve to death because we're eating meat, dairy, and eggs, and stealing their grain and giving it to animals, not making wildlife and indigenous people just lose their habitat and have their lives destroyed, and then the animals and so forth. At basic level, okay, but what veganism implies is that we take the next step, which is to live our lives as an expression of kindness and caring, not just for animals and their and food and products, but for everyone, for human beings. We are also mammals, right? So, and that's where it gets really much more interesting. I mean, it's all interesting, but when we start to understand that, then we begin to see the vast mountain that we can climb, in a sense. The vegan mountain is not just this little foothill you just climb up and there you're done. It's really huge. It's a never-ending kind of, in a sense, of understanding to be able to live our lives with so much awareness and loving kindness for others that we begin to, just by our being, make sow seeds of positive change in others. And I think that's the thing, is that we are all in many ways interconnected, not only on the physical level, but telepathically, the level of vibratory resonance. You know, we're resonant beings. And so our thoughts and feelings are connected. When we come into a room, we connect with people, and there's energy exchanges. And it's very often hard to tell whether or not what kind of an impact we're having on each other. I think only time tells that, actually. But the whole idea is that the more, because some people can come in at a very high frequency and cause what seems to be a very negative impact on somebody, right? And someone at a lower frequency could say, man, you know, that person came in and I got really angry. I felt terrible. I was really frustrated. I felt so self-conscious. You know, it really made me uncomfortable. And that could happen, you know. That's referred to as chemicalization. Now, chemicalization is when something very pure and clean is poured into a dirty vessel, right? It's like there's all this froth and chemicalization, all this, you know, all kinds of, you know, and it seems to be a bad thing. It's like, oh, this is terrible. It's all upset and I feel horrible. But actually, that was had to happen. You know, it was actually a good thing. So I think as vegans, we can cause that. You know, when we just bring the truth, without blaming or shaming or anything, just by being who we are, we can cause chemicalization in other people. As we shine the light of awareness by who we are, we can cause people to get up to be upset and to feel threatened and so forth. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't think we're here on this earth always to make everybody feel better, more comfortable. We're here to shine the light of truth, and in some cases that will perhaps help people to feel healed and whole and happy and joyful. But they may first have to go through a period when they feel upset and like this excruciating nakedness, like, oh my gosh, now or then they feel like I'm a terrible person, what I've done my whole life, and you know, all these kinds of things you can go through that. But the underlying idea really is that, to me, what veganism really calls of us is everything, ultimately. It calls us to sacrifice everything. The the yearning for acceptance, to be liked, to have what we want. Yeah, like that's the level of the separate self who's really the causing all the problems. The reason we have all these problems is because people want to have what they want, right? They want to have bacon, they want to have eggs, they want to have people do what they tell them to do, do what they tell them to do, and so this basic violence permeates our entire society. I mean, it just permeates everything. It permeates every institution. It's in the educational system. It's in the medical system, the governmental system, the corporate system. It's in the media. I mean, it just permeates everything. And so we're raised in it. And veganism is this ahimsa, right? It's this absolute opposite energy of an awakened consciousness where we actually let go of all of that. And we say, I'm here to give. I'm not here to get anything from anyone. I'm here to do the best I can for the time I'm here. And we don't know how that's going to show. You know, it's being open, I think, to the improvisational quality of life that we can't really script our life. We're called to rely radically on our own inner wisdom and let that guide us every moment. And sometimes we make mistakes, right? I mean, sometimes we, you know, it's the old patterns that come in, that kick in, and they cause suffering to myself and to others. But even, the thing that's important, I think, is to understand that even when that happens, that's not a bad thing. Because either we're acting out of our true nature and helping to sow seeds of awakening, or we're acting out of the habitual conditioning of our society, and then we learn from that. That's the only way we learn. We can see what happened. We can see how it goes. My old Zen teacher used to say, you know, life is like driving along and you hit a pothole and you're on your way to a place. And then, so then the next time you come along, you don't hit that pothole. Maybe you hit the pothole 5 times in a row, but the 6th time you actually don't hit it. You know, so that's the idea. Like, we can actually learn and avoid. You know, you've seen that movie, what was it called, Groundhog Day. You know, I love that. It's kind of like, you know, you keep working on it and getting better and better. And in a lot of ways, what it's really like, I think I might have said this before, but it's really, to me, in many ways, once we understand these principles, it's a lot like learning to not put our hand on a hot stove burner. That's really all it is. I mean, we know for sure, and I know for sure, that if I'm going to go through my life sort of expecting people to do what I think they should do, and then getting upset if they don't, that's basically, I'm just putting my hand on a hot burner. I understand I'm going to get burned. And I shouldn't blame anybody else but myself if I'm going to do that. And so this kind of dovetails into a lot of different things, but one of the things it dovetails into is the idea that each one of us really is creating our own experience of the world in a very unique way. That we don't live in one reality. That we live, if there's, you know, like on this call, if there's, 19 people, we have 19 realities. Each one of us has our own, is creating our own reality, experience, our own experience of our world. And so when we understand that, we begin to have more, I think, more compassion for others, because we begin to see that they're wounded, right? We're all wounded. And when someone is wounded and they do something to strike out or get angry or reject us, whatever it is, that there's no reason for me to attack them or fight back against them. But to think that some other, that getting something, like getting a relationship. I mean, I've seen this many times. When I lived in a little 1971 Volkswagen bus for 3 years, traveling around North America, back before I met Madeline. It was back in the early 1990s. So I got to know, I just was going to Unity churches all over the country and giving talks and workshops, and I met a lot of people, and I met both men and women, and we would sometimes get into deep talks, and over again I would hear this same story, which was, I could just find the right partner, I would be so happy. You know, I hear women say this all the time. I hear men say this all the time. I'm just looking for the right partner, then I'd be so happy. And, yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I think we do, of course, we want to have deep and meaningful relationships. But I think the thing is that the main partner we have is really our own mind. And no matter what the outer world brings us in terms of a partner, someone out there, we're really only seeing ourselves. You know, our own mind, our own consciousness is just always projecting onto them. And we like it or we don't like it. And the funny thing is, we always want to have a partner who feeds our ego and makes our ego feel good, right? That says how great we are, whatever it is. But actually, the greatest gift in some ways is our people who don't do that. You know, and who actually mirror back at us maybe some of our own stuff. And I think this comes up a lot. You know, in the vegan movement, we have this whole thing that we think that we have found the one right answer to the world's problems, which is true in a sense. I mean, if the whole world would go vegan, it would be an infinitely better world. So it's true. However, there's a big danger in that because the idea is that, okay, I found the solution, and now I'm done. I don't have to do any more inner work. Everybody else, I have to change everybody else to be like me. So we have to really let that go because we are just getting started. If we go vegan, that's great. That's like taking the first step on a 100-mile hike. You got a lot farther to go. So you're just barely starting. It's a necessary first step, but it gets better with every step, and it's a lot farther to go. And so I think with that awareness, we can hopefully begin to build a vegan movement that's more cohesive and is less infighting and all this and ego stuff, because that's really the problem, I think. I mean, part of the problem, of course, is that the vegan movement is being actively attacked by the pharmaceutical industry and by the meat industry, the dairy industry, by the government, and so forth. It's being attacked, and we're all being, in some way, attacked because we threaten the profits that come from disease and war and violence. But that's an even more reason for us to be even more vigilant about the quality of our consciousness, that we keep the quality of our consciousness at a very high level, as much as we can, keep our vibratory level high, because everything is trying to bring it down. And the way to keep our vibratory level high, basically, is exactly what I've been saying, to be a giver. Try to give from the depths of what we have, and be less concerned with trying to get something back. Because if I'm giving and I always want something back, then ultimately suffering comes, and we start contracting, and we start being, again, part of the problem instead of really being part of the solution. And I've seen this actually quite a bit, that a lot of people who go vegan don't end up staying vegan over the long haul, right? I mean, I love it when people have been a vegan for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. That shows real commitment to the animals and to their spiritual practice. Because a lot of people go vegan for a few years and then stop. And I think a lot of it's because of emotional and spiritual instability and not really understanding what it's all about, and then getting buttons pushed and not really understanding the deeper realities and the importance of taking good care of our body and mind and maintaining a high, you know, really not just maintaining, but achieving a high vibratory level. That's something I think that's important, to not let ourselves be dragged down by the negativity that's in many ways all around us. So it's really about taking responsibility. And this is what I think, you know, the Buddha, you know, sometimes we read from this book, the Dhammapada. I don't think I will today because we don't have much time. But the Dhammapada comes out of the Buddhist tradition, and that whole thing in Buddhism is essentially, and really all the spiritual traditions are the same, it's about creating communities of people who support each other in spiritual awakening. And we do that by doing our own work, and then honoring and respecting each other as best we can from the framework of our own understanding that we see a being, not just an object, to be used for our own advantage. That's why veganism is pure gold, because that's the core of veganism, not to use beings as objects for our own advantage. We start with the easiest ones to use, which are animals, and then we graduate and we work from there to higher and higher levels. And again, you know, we're only here for a few decades, so the best thing is to do the best you can as quickly as you can. Make as much progress as you can make. I mean, really, I mean, you know, why take, I mean, everybody goes at their own pace, but when we understand these things, it's like we're in a prison, the door's open, we can walk out and we can go. And the more we go, the more we create, a trail, right, that other people can kind of see that and can follow or can do their own thing and by our example. And I think that's really, in many ways, what it's all about. It's about being the example ourselves and then shining our light as best we can to help others do the same thing and not expecting anything in return, not expecting anything in return in terms of anything, in terms of acknowledgement or whatever. Because we're here really not just as this little self, we're here as the whole system. That's what we are, if we understood what we are. All right, so I'm going to stop there. I see we have a few comments over here. I didn't have time to look, but that's nice. Oh, Shasta says, I was chemicalized into being vegan, and I only wish it had happened sooner. Right, yeah, I can understand that. You know, we get... our physical body gets so completely needing some kind of chemicals, and then out of that we can get rid of the whole thing. It's really neat, the different paths that different beings take on this path of awakening. I have Max Ma, I have dystopia. I want other people to stop harming animals. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, we all do. My gosh, we want more of that more than anything. And yet the point is, what's the most effective way to stop people from harming animals? That's the question. Because, you know, I see this all the time. I did it myself for probably a decade. I'm going to shake people hard enough until they stop, you know. And they don't stop. You know, they just resist even more. So we have to find what's really effective. And I think ultimately it comes back to living this ourselves. Okay, will you have anything else? To visit a sanctuary. We have time to visit a sanctuary in Vegas tomorrow. That's an interesting question. All Friends Animal Sanctuary. Okay, well, we'll see. Can't make any guarantees. We love going to sanctuaries, though. It's really great. Okay, so after all that, does anyone have any comments or questions about anything so far? Happy to address anything you may have. We have just a few minutes left here, but...
I have a comment. It's Lily.
Okay, go ahead, Lily. Yeah.
You were mentioning about getting the right mate, you know, and
yes,
I wasn't looking for the right mate because I was very young when I met him, and I wasn't really looking for a mate, but I did want someone in my life that I could love and that could love me, and it happened. It just happened. It has nothing to do with anything I did. It was just like a miracle. And this same mate, when we first heard you on the radio 16 years or so ago, the same mate said, we ought to get his book. We ought to get his book. And I said, let's get it. I wasn't sure about anything. And then after a few months, and after we got the book, we ordered it, and after we got the book, he was reading it to me, and my precious soulmate, I said to him at about chapter 3, I said, we're vegan, aren't we? And he said, yeah, we're vegan. Now, that's a soulmate. That's a soulmate. He didn't say, oh, Lily, just go, you know, that's your thing. It's your idea. If you want to go vegan, fine, but leave me out of it for now. I'll have to see. He just said... And we shook hands, and that was, it's been over almost 16 years of being vegan now, 15. It was when the book first came out, so I don't know how long the book's been out.
But, right, yeah.
So what do you do? How do you navigate a world that you lived in with this soulmate under one roof for 55 years. How do you see? That's where the loss and the sadness and the you know the I forgot what it's called in you know the depth of pain and despair. It gets harder. I lost him now almost 4 months ago, but oh my God, the pain of it. The pain is so awful. I'm glad I live in the middle of the country. I mean in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I live in the wilderness. I really do. It's not even rural America. I live in the wilderness. And I'm glad I can scream. Sometimes it just comes out of me, a high scream. And it's not like blood curdling, and my animals are used to it now. They just say, oh, there she goes again. They just accept everything. But this pain is like having a knife in the heart all the time. I can't. See, people are looking for the right person, but when you lose that person, and he was my soulmate in every way you can possibly imagine, and I just don't want to be, I don't want to be like this, but I know I have to be. You said to enjoy, or not enjoy, but to cherish every aspect of your life. Well, I have such grief. I've never experienced anything like this, and I've had a lot of loss, but this is beyond anything I can, you can't, it's like I lost the whole universe. So, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I can do about that other than accept it. And I do practice my veganism, of course, and I do try to spread the message. I spread it every single day. I go on a meeting where I say I work my program vegan, and then people call me and they want to know about it. And that's the way I do my activism in the middle of the wilderness, because it's very, very important to do that, to do a little activism every day, and that's about the only thing that really helps me, is to do the activism, because I think of all the other animals who are weeping and howling and screaming and missing their babies and just wanting to be free, wanting not to be in bondage, and they are stuck. They are stuck because people who call themselves spiritual leaders are still eating animals. I do not trust people who call themselves spiritual eaters, not eaters, leaders who are not vegan. If they're not vegan, and they don't necessarily have to be a spiritual leader, and you don't have to be, I mean, not, if you're a vegan doesn't mean you're anything special. You just figured it out. And I was helped to figure it out with the World Peace Diet. I knew it was bad. I knew what I was doing was bad. So Will and Madeline put this book together, and it revolutionized our life. And it wasn't like, oh, well, we're vegan now, and let's give it a try. It was like, we're vegan. We're vegan. And I really feel that with people go vegan, because I'm just mentioning some points, if people go vegan and they are... then they go to not being vegan. It's fine. It's fine what they did. They were on a plant-based diet, and they thought they were vegan, but they weren't really vegan, because if you're vegan, you know too much, and your heart will not allow you. I don't care. I don't care if somebody tells you, oh, you'll feel better if you add some animal products. I don't want to feel better that way. That's not the way I want to feel better. So anyway, I'm sorry I went on and on, but you brought up some points and talked about swimming in a crystal pool and crystal river and going on a picnic. And I had that kind of life. And you know, it's like, why are you clinging, Lily? You had a great life. Just be grateful for it. So I'm gonna, you know, pass on with that. And thanks for letting me have a little rail here, but I'm really having a hard time.
Right.
I'm not crying all the time, but my heart feels like I've got a perpetual knife stuck in it. So,
right.
But I was lucky enough to have him at home, out in the wilderness, take care of him for years, and hold him in my arms when he died. So I was very fortunate. I've really lived. When I when I leave this earth, I will know that I have lived, like you and Madeline have lived, just like everybody on this line has lived. Because if you've gone vegan, you're fully alive. You're alive to incredible suffering on this planet. And it's suffering of humans, but the suffering of the animals is absolutely outrageous, what poor innocent animals have to go through because people want to use them.
Well said, Lily. Thank you. Thanks very much. I really appreciate your honesty and sharing from your heart. And Madeline and I are really blessed.
Lily.
Yeah, we're really blessed to have met Jim and you and been up to your wilderness, beautiful place up there. And I know we miss him too, but of course that's nothing compared to you. But you're right. You know, it was very similar with me. And Madeline too. Neither one of us were looking for a partner at all. I was happy living and traveling and doing my thing. But I think when and she was too. But when we do the inner work, it's like they say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And it's the same thing. You know, when we're ready, it just appears. It'll happen. And trying to finagle it in the outer world is usually probably not the way, but doing the inner work. And I can't say anything, I don't think, to lessen the pain of loss. It's such a deep, beautiful relationship that you had with Jim. So you were both great allies in the cause. I remember we did two events at least up there, and radio interviews and all kinds of things up in the in Garberville and up in Northern California there. And so you have been and you had the World Peace Diet Sunday, gosh, for years. You were reading the book over and over again. People were joining in. I mean, you've been a fantastic, real pioneer. Even though you've never had a computer, I mean, I think that's the greatest thing. Fantastic. You know, without a computer, you just mess it up for the phone, you know. So good for you. And we love you. We appreciate you and Jim and what you have given us and what you still continue to. The inspiration. It's wonderful. And I am really delighted to see Claire Mann has just joined us, even though it's, unfortunately, we're just at the point where we have to end. But hello, Claire.
ending.
Yeah. Maybe you're 1 hour off. Yeah. We start at 5 p.m. Pacific. It's now 6 p.m. Pacific, 6:03, and we're kind of strict about it because we have obligations. Everybody does. But it's interesting because a little earlier in the chat, someone here said, it was Max Ma, I think, I have dystopia. So you have a fan here.
Well, you all have dystopia at some level.
We all have dystopia, right? We're being vegan in a non-vegan world is a huge challenge, I know, because we all know about that. But it's really wonderful to see you, and really wonderful to see all of you. We had a meditation already, and some various rantings were going on and discussions, and now it's pretty much time for us to close our call. It's great to see Susan. Susan Daytree from Hawaii. You guys, you're out in the Pacific Ocean too far. You don't know what time zone you're in.
I know. I messed up.
Aloha.
Aloha.
But yeah, it's great. I highly recommend all of us to really explore the work that Claire Mann has been doing with her book Dystopia, and really bringing the vegan and health freedom message to people in Australia. We've done quite a few events together on videotape also, which is great. And so she's a wonderful ally. Thanks for joining us. So, yeah, sorry we have to kind of wrap it up.
Not at all. Glad I'm here. And I just wanted to thank you for everything you've been doing over the past 4.5 months. We've all been following your journey, of course. You're a great mentor, as you know, to me, Will, and to us all, I'm sure. And
Well,
I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. You've helped me in my growth.
Mm. Wow. And what time is it where you are?
It's 11 o'clock in the morning, and ironically, I was free an hour ago.
Oh, bless your heart. All right, well, I know Davi is with us, and for her, I think it's about 3, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning in England. So bless you, Gabby, for always joining us. I really appreciate your dedication also, and all of you, everyone. But let's see. There's quite a few comments here. Awareness is the key, shining the light of awareness, and all these wonderful comments. I think, good. Thank you, everyone, for your all your efforts. And what we'd like to do for the close of our gathering is say our prayer, which is the one at circleofcompassion.org. It's the worldwide prayer circle for animals. It's a very simple prayer. And I will say it. And what we'd like to do is unmute your microphones. Everybody can unmute your microphone if you like. And then we all kind of make a benevolent cacophony here of the prayer, Compassion in Circle Zero for All Beings Everywhere is the prayer, for those of you who don't know it. It's an affirmative prayer. So let's do it together. Usually we do it 3 times. And let me, Madeline is right here, too, in our little band. Oh, no. That's not what we want. I think we're still on. You're still on. That's good. Okay, so, sorry about the, we have our cables in the, all right, so let's, together, everybody ready? Here we go.
Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Good, again.
Compassion
encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Oh, so beautiful. Say it one more time with deep feeling and truth.
Compassion
encircles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Wow. That's beautiful. Yeah, we really, really appreciate everyone, all your sharing with us, and more and more people keep coming on at the wrong time. Carlos Garcia, also from Hawaii, just joined us. I can see he's an old friend. Anyway, sorry, we're just finishing up here. We end at 6 o'clock, so. But anyway, much love to everyone. Go forth and multiply the message. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings, and
everywhere.
We'll see you next time. Thanks again. Much love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. See you later.
Ciao.